Hello, Red versus Blue fans. Welcome back to the Red versus Blue after show on AfterBuzz TV on Rooster Teeth Reviews. I did that backwards, but it's got the network and the show, and we are all good to go. We are looking at season 16, episodes 4 and 5. We are going to talk about the Convent of the Gods and whether or not pizza is worth living for. We'll see you after the opening.
You're tuning into the destination for TV super fan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
I mean, pizza's pretty dang great, you guys.
I feel like pizza is the only thing worth living for. Everything else is second.
Megan, do you need help?
If I may quote Freakazoid, why, that is so very, very sad.
I mean,
have a good time now.
You were all having a good time until you showed up. Go get some coffee with cream or something, because this is a happy place. Yeah, no.
That Red versus Blue, this isn't a happy place.
This is true. It hasn't been for a while. Yeah, that got really dark.
Sorry.
Thanks, Megan.
Okay, how about this? Pizza's the best thing worth living for, then.
I'll give you that.
How's that?
I'll definitely.
Like, but pizza's calzones. Super good.
But calzones. Like, if we fold it in half and we make a pizza sandwich, it's a calzone.
I mean, I know that a lot of people hate calzones, but I'm actually very much pro calzone.
Mark, yeah. You're looking like you might commit a homicide.
No. I like calzones too, but I'm just thinking of Griff. And a world with calzones and not pizza is not a world I want to live in.
That's very
this
true.
This is true. Yeah. This is true. One predates the other. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Red versus Blue after show on Rooster Teeth Reviews on AfterBuzz TV. We are having a grand old time talking about the pizza quest tonight. We are looking at Red versus Blue Season 16, Episodes 4 and 5. Sis and Tuck's Sexcellent Adventure. I'll get that down eventually. And Headshots, which is a much easier title. I have with me my wonderful host, Megan Salinas.
Hey, everybody.
Mark Donica.
I'm also here.
Yay, I'm very glad to have you both here. And I'm Katie Cullen, and we are going to talk about all sorts of fun stuff. You can talk about it along with us with the hashtag RTReviews. That's on the Twitters. Mark has you on the live chat. Ooh. We're doing all of that fun stuff. But first, let's start off with some news.
Holy crap!
We have all sorts of ridiculously fun news, you guys. Oh my gosh. And I...
Go ahead, hit it.
Do it.
Nail it. AfterBuzz. We should have warned him.
I didn't warn him. I put it at the top Steve. Of my thing, and I failed to warn him. So thank you, Steve. I want to start this off with the biggest piece of news I think we've had with a Rooster Teeth property in a while.
They released Max's hoodie on the RT store!
I know, right? And we're getting Blu-rays for Cam.
Finally!
Scream activated lights are working again.
Thank you.
The biggest piece of news I think to come out all year.
And, you know, there's also the fact that Michael B. Jordan is producing and in Genlock, so there's that.
I'm not even exaggerating. I had my mouth agape for like a solid 5-10 minutes of just like, you did it!
It took me so much time to register what I was reading when I was looking at the headline, and I was like, what?
I said a few things that were definitely not air appropriate.
They
were very happy things, but they weren't air appropriate. So,
I
like to leave it up to the audience's imagination. That's creative nice. Swears are best.
We were already hyped for Genlock.
Oh yeah.
I don't know how you get more hype than we are now, though. Oh my gosh,
there's
over the moon.
Yeah. Congratulations to the team and everybody who's been keeping this a secret for we don't know how long. We don't know if there was a Julian Chase before Michael B. Jordan, and it was like, no, never mind. Thanks for coming. But you can see it out there. But also the idea of them co-producing it is kind of a first for Rooster Teeth in terms of it not just being a sponsored piece like Panics was.
Yeah.
But with this, they get so much more budget and airtime. It was in Variety. It was in Hollywood Reporter. It was all of the biggest things of like, some little studio in Austin, Texas, where the interweb went, you don't even know.
I mean, usually when something winds up on Variety, it's Ruby.
Yeah.
So Ruby is usually the headline, yeah.
Yeah. So this is something that's just exploded off the bat, and it started with his Instagram post.
Yeah.
But I think... there's a compilation of tweets from different Rooster Teeth employees, and I think my favorites are, he told you he liked anime, yeah, and hold on to your retainers.
Yeah, because Gray was on top of it.
Oh, yeah. If y'all don't know the retainer story, look it up. Yeah, in other news, just as important but in different ways, we've announced a horror comedy show called Spike Face.
With Rob McElhenney from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Charlie Day is also evidently attached.
Is he? I didn't see that in the announcement.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's only been saying Rob.
Basically,
there's a Variety article, and then you were looking at a different article?
Yeah, I was. It was a different outlet. But yeah, Charlie Day, in addition to, I believe, their other co-star from It's Always Sunny as well. I would have to double check on that last one, but yeah, Charlie Day is also attached.
So maybe it's their production company co-opting another co-produced animated thing from Rooster Teeth. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And on top of that, the premise, they also released the premise of the show, where in this animated horror comedy, it's a figure very akin to an 80s horror movie icon like Jason, Leatherface, et cetera, who ends up adopting a little girl, a.k.a. he killed her parents, whoopsie doodle. And then adopts her, and that doesn't sit well with his roommates, who are also horror icon types. I am really excited about this because, in addition to horror comedy, I am... One of the tropes I'm a big fan of is evil dad. So, like, evil adopted dad. I'm kind of picturing, like, a Despicable Me, but with horror movie icon
instead. A little bit, yeah.
I'm all about it.
There's always something fun with, this person's a villain. Look at his chat. Dr. Doofenshmirtz.
Yeah.
Except actual evil.
Or if anybody's a fan of, like, ProZD, I don't know how to pronounce his username, but he does a whole bunch of, like, fun Vine... Yeah, yeah. He does a whole bunch of Vine stuff. He did a few about, like, being an evil monster, but also being a really good parent who goes to PTA meetings and things like that. That's kind of what I'm picturing for this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was excited for this. I was also excited for their foray back into live-action sketches, because we had, what was it? It was hosted by Colton Dunn. I forgot the name of it already. Rooster Teeth Entertainment System.
That's right.
Where it was like kind of a panel comedy show, and they had a couple of sketches. But they, unannounced, but they're already shooting. It's with Josh Flanagan and Elise Willems. As the creative, which
is
an amazing team up, and they're shooting now, so I don't know when they're going to be releasing it. Maybe they're shooting something to be ready for RTX, or maybe it's going to come out in time for RTX and debut at RTX on first night or something.
That would be awesome.
But there was a lot. There was a lot. we got that press release last week, and then we got the Michael B. Jordan news. And we haven't seen a celebrity involvement. And for audio listeners, those were huge
air quotes.
Since Elijah Wood back earlier on in Jen Brown got to meet up with at a recent con, which was pretty adorable.
Great. Was that Philadelphia or Australia? I feel like it was Philly.
It's Philly because Supernova hasn't happened yet.
Okay, well, they were recently in Australia for a different con. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, and the last little piece I want to hit on is Troy Baker is coming to RTX.
Yeah.
Which makes
Why,
me...
though?
It makes me think that he's doing a voice in Genlock. Or in something. Because very rarely do we grab a big VO name for RTX that isn't attached to a Rooster Teeth project.
Well, I will say that we had Hideo Kojima come to Rooster Teeth, or RTX Australia, and he wasn't in anything yet. And they said, hey, do you want us to shoot this thing for the show that I'm not going to spoil? But not until he showed up for the event did they go... Maybe we can do something. And then they added him naturally. So, because there was also a thing, they put out a poll of who do you want to come to RTX, where I saw a whole bunch of the Critical Role cast. I'm like,
but good luck.
Especially because the Willingham Bailey faction is expecting around that time. They ain't going anywhere.
I mean, Travis would be the most likely person to go because of his voice involvement in Camp Camp, but no, he gonna have a child.
I mean, it's not unknown for them to reach out to other people who are out of house, so to speak. I mean, that's why they started reaching out to Elizabeth Maxwell. That's why we got Chris Sabat in Red versus Blue and Ruby. You know, they've started sort of expanding.
Yeah.
They've expanded their net. Troy seems like a natural choice, given how many video games he's in, given the amount of Western animation he's done.
Troy Baker's in everything.
It also could just be that, he might just be a normal guest, and then they're like, oh, hey, while you're here, if you want to do something, let's talk. Because, last year, they also had Andy Serkis at the con. Yeah, he was, big celebrity guest because they were promoting War of the Planet of the Apes.
I'd be excited to find out if something... I mean, it was probably just to promote Planet of the Apes, but he go, hey, you want to do something?
That would be awesome.
He does mocap for Grimm and Ruby.
Yeah.
Could you see that?
Cam Griffin says, what's a male character we don't have yet in Ruby that Troy Baker could voice? Papa Paul and Dina? Somebody else suggested,
he could be
a governor in Nomad, or I say he could be the voice of the Nomad himself.
He can do anything. Yeah, he can. Troy Baker.
He could
Baker.
Be all of the above.
Yeah, but a lot of huge stuff that we're going to need more time to cover.
Yeah, so that's why we put this first, because we want to be able to give it all of the airtime it deserves, but I think we should move on.
Oh, Michael B. Jordan!
Does everyone just want to scream one more time before we move on?
We warned you for that one.
We did. Yeah. We did. Everyone listening on headphones just turned down their audio levels.
And it's not a news thing, but if you're watching this live, make sure to check out the Rooster Teeth Twitter, because they released a clip from Camp for this Friday.
Awesome. I missed that.
Yeah, it's about the quartermaster.
Oh, God.
Oh, Lord in heaven.
Oh, God. Okay.
And why he's sobbing in that trailer.
What? Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that was great, wasn't it?
I'm worried about everyone involved in everything for that camp.
Yeah. Maybe he finally caught Quarter Sister.
Maybe.
Oh. I've been rewatching the series.
Yeah, no. That's going to be a conversation for another week or two. So hang on for that. But yeah, let's wander back into Red versus Blue. Let's talk about Tucker and Sister. These two... What did you think of this argument, of this whole experience that they had?
I thought it was interesting. I can't say that this has been my favorite pairing of all of the different sort of, all the groups that we've gotten so far for the time traveling shenanigans. That being said, I kind of have to admire all of Sister's observations, because she's really on point.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
She's a businesswoman.
Yeah, absolutely. She doesn't have time for any of his nonsense.
It made me a little bit sad for I wasn't a fan of this pairing either, and I heavily alluded to it in our last after show. I was really surprised at how much this episode really didn't do it for me. I liked what we learned, but there's been a lot of stuff so far this season that tells us instead of lets us experience it, or tells us the punchline before we even get to the joke. And I wish, they have the time. Like, we're supposed to be getting longer episodes. In both of these episodes, we got, why are you wearing armor? This is why. Okay, that's a joke, right? Instead of, letting it be a thing and go, and letting us figure out why are all these people wearing armor on this movie set, or why are these kids in armor, or something. It was less of no, we'll get to the joke, but we just got to explain it first, you know. So that I wasn't too much of a fan of, but especially with these two, they buried the lead so quick. Hey, remember the time when we banged? Well, we're gonna go back there. Oh, well, they ruined it for themselves because time's linear. We've figured out this form of time travel already, and especially with the big Sarge episode of him being his own worst enemy. It's like, oh, so they've already told us that that's how time travel works. So why draw out the joke?
I appreciate that it's been reinforced, though. Because there's still a little bit of room for maybe time is able to be manipulated in certain ways. And it's also possible that the reason why things like this are happening for each group is that ultimately each one of them separately has to come to the conclusion that this is how time travel works, mm-hmm. before they all meet up again.
I did like that we got the conclusion of 15 seasons worth of why can't Tucker have a sniper rifle?
Yeah.
That's why Tucker... The overarching bits of Sister and Tucker's story I wasn't terribly fond of, mm-hmm. but there were definitely smaller pieces that I really appreciated. The sniper rifle thing yeah. was incredible.
Sniper He's got a good bit. Freelancer kill count now!
He does! And it's wonderful. But the other bit in their conversation that I loved was, why can't we go back to when things were silly and fun all the time? Mm-hmm. Like, when we were back here, things had no consequences. We could screw up and who cared? Now I screw up and Wash gets shot and I have alimony payments and this and that and the other. Like, and I feel like that was definitely a turn and stare at the camera sort of moment.
Yeah.
But I appreciated it.
Agreed.
Because the audience does a lot of, I miss Blood Gulch. I miss when it was all funny. And this show is, at this point, one hell of a balancing act mm-hmm. between we've introduced freelancers, we've introduced all this drama, we've introduced things being serious, but we still have this ridiculous sense of humor that we love, that's the foundation of our characters and that people are expecting. How do we balance it?
Mm-hmm.
And being able to kind of look at the audience and go, yeah, we miss the fun, simple times too, but it's not going to be that way again. So, you know, let's all go on this ride together. I appreciated that.
Mm-hmm. I can agree with that.
Yeah, and I'm kind of the same way. Even though this isn't necessarily our favorite pairing, this is exactly how I would picture Tucker and Sister being stuck together at this point in time. This is exactly how I would expect their interactions to go. So I definitely, and yeah, like you guys were saying, there are definitely like really good nuggets in there too. I appreciate her calling him out. I appreciate knowing how much the series has grown and these characters have grown. And even though it might be a little bit repetitive, I do like seeing we are our own worst enemies when it comes to time travel.
And in general, it's been historically that the Reds and Blues have been their own worst. Last season, they were their own worst enemies.
They were literally their own worst enemies.
But in framing it like that, I would put it like this. I will say I am a pro prequel person. But in terms of Star Wars, the prequels have a lot of fluff and a lot of, oh, that's not great, and a lot of whatever.
Trade negotiations.
But
I hate sand.
But you realize why. Like, my wife and I were rewatching.
It's coarse and rough and it gets everywhere.
My wife and I were rewatching Phantom and, like, not even as a joke, she went, that's probably why he doesn't like sand. And I love you so much. But in terms of that framing, the prequels have a lot of important information in it. The way that it's delivered to us may not be the most popular thing among the fandom, but it's still very important, and you still hold reference for this. I'm going to go back to what I said last episode of our review and say, once all of this is established and here for us to look at, I'm probably going to have an entirely different opinion on it now that we know how everything's working out.
Yeah.
But it was nice to see despite these are kind of our, quote, two most immature characters, to have them have that realization of we have to be adults and serious now and mm-hmm. not just, hey, let's bang celebrities, which was pretty funny. But
all of the Spice Girls.
I would put it like that in terms of there's a lot of valuable information in here so far. And waiting for everything, all of the sand to settle, waiting to see how it all shakes out, you can shake it all out.
It's also a little bit of nostalgia. Like, we've all been watching this for 15 years at this point. And I don't know about y'all, but I turned 30 last week. That's literally half my life.
Happy birthday!
Yay!
God, I hope not. Is it 40 the midlife crisis?
No, half my life. I've been watching this show for my life. Okay. Oh, my like, God,
what
Mark.
What a disturbing premonition.
Wrong.
Yes, you can have your pizza.
I was going to say, who made it dark now, Katie? Jeez.
Me.
No. I've been watching this show for half my life so far. Mm-hmm. And when I started in high school, it was definitely fun and consequence-free. And the only thing I had to worry about were IB exams, which is AP on steroids. And not anywhere near worrying about holding a job and paying rent and insurance and
all
being
the other
an adult.
Adult like, responsibilities.
First membership.
Well, in the same way.
Yeah, it's so nice to be able to go, yeah, you know, that was really nice when I didn't have to cook my own meals or worry about putting a roof over my head. It's gone and I can't go back to that. But that was nice.
If you want to look at it in terms of the meta commentary, in terms of the history of the company, yeah, at first this was just a couple dudes doing a passion project, and now they're responsible for a company that, you know, employs hundreds of people, and they, you know, they got all of these crazy projects with celebrities that they're doing, and there's a lot of responsibility in running a company just in and of itself. It's a lot of responsibility running a company that very much markets itself as being a hub for an internet community, and then also one that works in entertainment on top of all that. Yeah, things are a lot more complicated than they used to be.
Mm-hmm. Especially I would like to flash back. If you don't watch RTAs, you really should. There's a great story of an intern that found the switch in the kitchen that controlled all of Machinima, and they talked about how that would have affected them back in the day. I'm trying to see what light this works. Like, do you realize what you've done?
No.
But yeah, RTAA is super solid, but it just that thing of the implications of everything. The fact, and also the fact that Rooster Teeth has gotten big enough to trust other creators, not just in-house people, though Joe has done work for other people, but then to have Joe go off and be like, hey, here's another person that I trust. It's getting so big that it has to change. It can't be what it was, despite us having the majority of all of the same people and all the same characters involved.
Yeah, things change as you go on, and we found so much meaning in three lines of dialogue. English major. But yeah, no, that it's a perfect encapsulation of nostalgia, of the series, of the company, because as much as people get into Rooster Teeth stuff like, oh, I started with Ruby, I started with Nomad, I did Achievement Hunter, this is how the company started, and this series, and it's also weird to think about that.
It's too big for people to go back.
Yeah.
Because like a fellow host of the show, Stacey, who isn't here because she doesn't have the time to watch 15 seasons of a show. I've got the 10-year RVBX thing. I was like, you want to borrow? And she's like, no. I've got, respectfully, no. I've got stuff to do. I do not blame you. And honestly, if I didn't have to catch up on like three seasons to get back up to speed a couple of years ago, it would still just be like...
It would still be very daunting.
Yeah. It is.
And shout out to, where is he? AJ the Edgelord in chat, who just caught up to all of the Red versus Blue to be able to join us live. But it's crazy. And I remember I was in college catching up on One Piece that at the time...
Holy cow!
At the time was like 300 episodes. Yeah. That's a lot. It's been a whole lot more than that. But I almost failed that semester because I was like,
I'm going to be king of the pirates.
I'm going to be king of the pirates. Come on, Zolo.
I skipped straight to Thriller Bark, not going to lie.
Well, I mean, it's because it's great here.
Yeah. Here's your zombie pirate ship. Go.
No, the zombie coming up and Libby goes, I'll fix this. What are you doing? All right, anyway.
You stay in your home.
But yeah, that's one of the... It's such an undertaking, and the fact that it is changing, it is evolving, and it's more so the new stuff that's getting me excited as opposed to the callbacks to the old stuff.
Yeah.
Or like getting new character insights, and we won't go into it here, but the next episode that we'll be covering definitely has some character insights that I can't wait to dig into.
Yeah. But that's going to be next week. So, you know, tune in, same bat time, same bat channel for that. But
goodbye, everybody.
But in the meantime, if you would like to develop a few character insights of your own, we have a...
That's a great transition.
Thank you! I do my best. We've got a thing.
If you guys want to have fun, learn, grow in all areas of your life, we've got a podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life. From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more, let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know that it was the Rooster Team that sent you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition. Check it out.
In the time that advertisement was read, you could have already been subscribed. You could even just hold your phone up to like the audio pickup thing and it would have done it for you. Or said, hey, Alexa. Whoops.
You're evil. You.
Ah, all right. Hey, Alexa, how do you want to do this?
Does it actually do things when you say that?
Now queuing Critical Role podcast.
Are you serious?
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I know you can ask it if this unit has a soul, and if you ask Alexa who their favorite Overwatch character is, there is a Zenyatta main.
That's funny.
Oh, no, it's beautiful.
Fellow robot.
Before we go too deep into the Critical Role stuff, seriously, guys, it means so much when you guys come out to support us, and so it would mean the world if you guys would support the people who provide us with this platform.
Yes, absolutely that. And with that, let's swing into the thing that supports our lives.
Sarge?
Pizza.
Oh.
Pizza!
Oh, that's
I have an order, thank you.
I forgot about the B story on this episode. I watched it when it came out and I didn't go back and watch it. That's how much I was like, eh.
I definitely watched it again yesterday and today, so.
Can we talk about how devastating it would be to be told that pizza doesn't exist? I will say, though, I don't necessarily think they were up at where they were in time. As we've established, time is linear.
Yep.
So I don't think that they were where they thought they were in that point in time. Either that or, like, the kids were pulling a prank on them. Because I don't think that they could have accidentally wiped away pizza from the time stream, given how we've seen time travel work so far.
Or it's in the future. And they don't know what pizza is for some reason.
Or it's some trickery from the characters that we meet at the end of the next episode.
That's also
in order to get them to a certain point.
As an inciting incident.
Do something!
So we have a lot of yelling at children and attempted suicide.
Same. A little dark. Same.
Even for this show, a little dark.
I mean, I feel like that moment of Griff yelling at the children, though, is very much encapsulates the sort of internet mentality of, like, you're ruining my childhood. Kids these days don't know what the good stuff is.
The original Thundercats was best. Honey, have you watched the original Thundercats recently?
It wasn't for children.
Yeah, well, yes, it was. It was meant to sell toys. It was a cartoon in the 80s.
The whole thing bothers me so much.
Oh, it's just terrible.
Like, and also, what shows are selling these days, it's not for you, a 30-year-old person. It's for children. Anyway, somebody made a joke post of gargoyles in the same style and went, I'd watch that.
I would absolutely watch that.
Yeah,
that looks so adorable.
Yeah. But with this, I would say if you're just watching scripted or animated Rooster Teeth stuff and you like Griff shouting at stuff, gotta go over to my friends at Achievement Hunter and watch they have a series called For Honor, F-O-R-E, where they play a variety of different golf games, and it's essentially Jeff yelling the show, the voice actor of Griff. It's remarkable how much the game of golf is against that man, to the point where he's the only person that has a face cam to see him going, why? And it's hilarious. So do yourself a favor and check out our fine friends over at Achievement Hunter.
See, I tend to watch their Worms Let's Plays, Worms is so much fun.
And I would highly recommend, they just put out, they do Achievement Hunter animations. They just put one out for a GTA Let's Play called Lindsay Wins. Lindsay traditionally doesn't do too well in GTA races, so they made one where she has to win no matter what. And is she just the god of chaos. She it's amazing. Anybody who bumps into her has to go all the way back to the end. And it's like matched with a whole bunch of bottlenecks where she's like, I don't know what I'm doing. They're like, oh god. And everybody's just crashing so that they're not in first place. It's amazing. It's just called Lindsay Wins. And the thumbnail is like an old Animorphs cover of Lindsay transforming into a trophy. Hard to miss. Highly recommend it. Anyway, back to our story.
I really appreciate, first of all, I feel like I would be devastated if somebody told me pizza didn't exist or that I could no longer consume pizza. I know a couple friends who can't have pizza anymore, mm-hmm. and my heart goes out to them. It's so upsetting.
But they don't even know what they're missing.
No, they do. Oh, no, they just can't have pizza anymore.
Oh, okay, I have a friend who found out she was gluten and dairy intolerant a year or two ago, so she's aware of what she is missing.
Vegan cheese and cauliflower crust.
Yeah.
Which is a hard thing to do when you're catering for an entire department.
I mean, it's just a lot of cauliflower.
But talking about how characters have grown and evolved, and we know that Joe is very fond of Griff, that happens to be his favorite character. I really like seeing the emphasis on both Tucker and Griff as basically protagonists, mm-hmm. because Church was the protagonist for so long, the begrudging protagonist for so long, that now that he's gone, the freelancers are sort of off to the side. These two have to step it up, and you can tell they absolutely don't want to. Tucker will take the credit, but they don't want to be protagonists.
Because it's easier when someone else does it. Mm-hmm. Responsibility sucks.
That's why Church had to for so long.
Yeah.
And so it's cool seeing both of these characters put into a situation where they don't really have a choice anymore.
Mm-hmm. Wait, chat made you laugh at something. Well, I gotta know what it was.
It's just a whole bunch. It's a whole bunch of Let's Play reactions. And, another recommendation of Jeff yelling. They did, it was an amazing build. They did Legends of the Hidden Tower, which is they were trying to find the Tower of Pimps, build the Tower of Pimps, but it was essentially a Minecraft episode of Legends of the Hidden Temple. Jack was how am I blanking now? Who's the
MC?
The
Olmec.
Temple Spirit. Olmec. He was Olmec, and they made a functioning Olmec. Talking with Redstone.
That's
but
amazing.
Lindsay is the quizmaster in it, so she's like asking the questions and she gets like the rules wrong, and Jeff is just livid. It's amazing.
Okay.
Oh my god.
What I want you guys to do for the comments of this video is put in your Achievement Hunter recommendations, because we are running out of time to talk about our other stuff.
Oh, yes,
and
we
also
are.
To talk about the iTunes. Because that's other places where you can put recommendations and comments. And hey, if you like our show and you want our show to keep going on, iTunes is a really good way to do that. You find us, you like us, you comment, you subscribe, you do all that fun stuff, you leave a review. If you leave a review, you get a shout out on the show. They take a couple of days to post.
You totally do, and I'm totally checking because I forgot to do
it. Also, if you are in an iTunes store that is not the American iTunes store, we have a real hard time finding those because there's like 35 iTunes stores now. Mm-hmm. So if you do leave a review, take a screen cap of it, put it in our hashtag. We will read that on the air too because it counts.
It absolutely counts.
Rate us 5
counts.
Stars because you love us. Look at all the stars I have on my sweater. That's how many stars you should leave us. Look at them. They're wonderful. Do it.
We got nothing. So leave one.
That's okay. Do the thing. Tell your friends. It'll be great. Yeah, we have two more points that I really want to hit on and not a lot of time in which to do it. So, Sarge and Simmons and Jax, God bless him.
Oh.
Hollywood humor.
I was really happy to see Jax again. And not only that, which is weird because of the state that we left him in last season, but that he's doing it. He's living the dream.
He's a character where literally the second we saw that we were on a film set and he's taking them around and giving them the grand tour, I was grinning from ear to ear because it is such a joy to watch this character. However, he is the absolute worst person I think you'd ever want to work for on an actual film set.
Mm-hmm. He sold the script and now he's a tyrant. Well, he never graduated film school.
I guess he didn't. Real world film experience.
If it's only been a year since they parted ways.
Some film schools are 2 years. You never know.
Yes, but
he might have only needed to finish his internship.
It's not necessarily a good school.
This is also true.
Yeah, this is the school that sent him on this mission for his internship. So, yeah, I'm not sure if they're accredited.
Well, that was more because his uncle, was it his uncle?
Yeah.
Had the pull for it.
Beast Wars fan in chat says Jax has become Kubrick.
He has become Death Destroyer of films.
All of my heroes are film tyrants, so I shall become that.
I do love that Sarge...
I thought that was a personal thing, not Jax.
No,
we're learning a lot about Megan today.
A little worried about you, Megan. A little worried, very
I need
worried.
Pizza to survive.
I need pizza to survive, and I mistreat my actor.
Oh gosh, did I turn
that is true.
Did I turn into Jeremy? Is that what happened?
Ah, beans.
Close. Still terrifying.
Turned into an evil Jeremy.
But yeah, and we kind of had the kill Hitler plot going on here. It's like, no, let's go kill Temple before one of us decides to defect to their side.
Can we talk about who Sarge recruits?
Who figured it out instantly?
I figure it took me a little bit for it actually did take me a second watch to figure out everybody. John, it took me until we got to talking. It took me until we got to the lines bit, and then I was like, "Oh, he's John Wayne."
We were tired the first time we watched it.
John Wayne, go ahead.
George Washington and Alexander the Great.
Alexander was the first person I got. John, once he started talking, I was like, oh, okay. And then once the two lines that George got, I was like, oh, okay, all right, yeah, we're in.
Muskets.
We're great. Without musket balls or something like that, because he was British, and I was like, a British, like King George? Like, ah, no,
we shall defeat these redcoats.
We're the redcoats.
Got it, thank you.
I mean, it's an okay strategy, except for the fact that you picked someone who is not immune to the weird space diseases you have and also doesn't speak your language, but sure.
It's funny to see Alexander keep collapsing.
Poor man.
Duct tape him to the mongoose, Simmons.
It was all just a great, great comedy bit. And Simmons giving up on science and logic because... Whatever.
Because nothing means anything.
Nihilist Simmons. I'm here for Nihilist Simmons.
I mean, we had Blue Team Simmons for a while. It's almost the same thing.
Yeah. That was when he was disillusioned with Sarge as opposed to science itself, though. Mm-hmm.
Well,
reason for being.
Time travel doesn't necessarily have to make sense. It just has to work.
I like when it does, though. And I love a lot of the shows that we cover for AfterBuzz, but, like, man, there was one show did a time travel plot this season, and, like, they didn't wrap it up perfectly. And I was like, oh, that's a little messy.
Neither of us are on very many shows here anymore. It's really not hard to figure out what you're talking about.
Four words. Once upon a time. Awful. It's to the point where my wife was like, I just want to watch it end. Like, I don't.
She got her wish.
Time travel is a messy game, and when you start dealing with it, you're rolling the dice, narratively speaking. Mm-hmm. And it can be very easy to lose track of things. I feel like the other show I was talking about, it ended well for what they were doing, but man, I really appreciate the linear structure a lot better.
Go ahead.
AJ the Edgelord says, now it's Simmons asking the question, why are we here?
Oh my gosh! And this time he means it in a metaphysical sense, not in a literal sense.
But then also, we're not talking about next week, but also, like, there's a lot of switching when it comes to character roles in these teams. It's very interesting to see.
I just want to say before we move on to our last point, because I think we can talk all day about fun Hollywood references, but I think we've pretty much covered Sarge and Simmons.
Sarge has to kill John Wayne.
I guess.
I love how...
No, that's a fact. I'm stating it.
I love how he has to kill him. Sarge's plans change. It goes from, I gotta fix my past mistakes, to, no, we need to kill our greatest enemy, Temple, to, no, I need to be in this movie, to, now I must kill John
now
Wayne.
Now I need to kill my greatest enemy, John Wayne.
Yeah.
The student has become the master.
And we need to move on. I will say, in terms of time travel, look up Generator Gall. Watch Generator Gall. And then try to put the pieces of your brain back together. Yeah, so we need to talk about the Pantheon. Like, this weird little cadre of gods that we've got going on here. And I have so many questions.
You mentioned him earlier in the show. Sung Won Cho is the voice of Atlas Rex.
I recognized it.
Same. But if he had said, I, King Dragon, like, then you would have been, but no.
Oh,
If he didn't already lock down the intellectual property of King Dragon, then I figure they would have called him King Dragon. But,
oh, that's so funny.
But yeah, they have him as the King of the Gods.
I straight up wrote down, like, this is, I wrote down his whole big thing. King Atlas Arcanium Rex, first among the cosmic powers, God of Gods and Slayer of Titans. And then my notes after it say, holy shit, dude, slow your roll. So, I'm not terribly fond of God King, God King, King God, but whatever.
Makes such a good voice, though. So much sense now that you've said that. Oh, that's perfect, Caster.
Also, it's really interesting, and you can follow, if you want sort of an insight of who might be showing up on shows, every once in a while there'll be a random guest at Achievement Hunter or a random guest on the podcast, and then like months later, because Sungwon did a couple of Let's Plays, and he showed up for a day, recorded a couple of Let's Plays, and did the Achievement Hunter podcast, and then all of a sudden, oh, he's in Red vs. Blue. Surprise! No surprise! It was similar to when Travis and Laura went and did a couple of Let's Plays, did a podcast, and then ended up And then autumn happened, and Travis was the ship captain or whatever, and then Cam Cam, and like all that stuff. Where it's keep an eye on who's at the Rooster Teeth offices, because they'll probably show up in something else later.
Yeah, it's just, oh my god, what a good voice choice! I can't even right now.
That is utterly enjoying delightful. It.
But we have so much. This is like the last 2 minutes of the episode, and we have a massive plot drop. We've got a full-on meeting of the gods. I'm not sure if the green-armored person was Kali or not, because it looked and sounded a lot like her. And she said, I was there when the pizza quest happened.
Yeah, that was her.
Yeah, that seems right.
So she came in full-on, like, god of death, and then here she's like, no, I was there. Things are happening. It's like,
interesting looking at this pantheon, because it seems to be leaning heavily on Norse mythology with the Odin and the potential Loki that he refers to as his idiot son. The person with the hammer could be Thor. We don't really know. I kind of feel like, given that the goddess of death went by Kali, I feel like this is going to be one of those things where they represent constants in the universe as celestial beings, like one of those things where it's like, oh, we've gone by many names, but these are our true names.
Well, yeah, with I saw somebody break down with Atlas being
Odin.
Not necessarily that, but Atlas being a reference to Zeus, because he said conqueror of the Titans.
Yeah.
So Atlas,
Slayer of Titans.
So Zeus killed the Titans, one of which being Atlas, in order to assume kingship. So that is a reference to a Greek thing, and Rex is Roman. So it's one of those. I think that's what it ends up being, especially with Kali.
Yeah, but Huggins and Muggins are also takeoffs on. Yeah.
And the person with the hammer could also be Ares, or
Perun. Could be anyone. Yeah, which makes me wonder what they're saying. It's like, I wrote down a few lines. Their every action wears thin the chains that bind him, and they have his protection. Are we talking about the same him?
Donut.
And who is him?
Donut. It's Donut.
Well, Donut definitely was like, oh yeah, I'm working with God, which implies capital G Judeo-Christian God, but
what
could be
gods,
Fenrir?
According to, in various mythologies, what gods have been imprisoned by other gods? Like, Prometheus?
Well, he wasn't a god. He was just
the
son of Zeus.
Actually, Loki wound up in prison for a huge chunk of time. Loki and Fenrir are both imprisoned awaiting Ragnarok. Like, Loki's in prison with a giant snake above his face dripping venom on his eyes. Like,
ooh,
Norse mythology gets hardcore.
Well, there was also, I don't know if it was just an element in Halo or not, because I'm not as familiar with building levels and such, but it looked like the Celtic Triskelion was in the background in, like, the bottom left-hand corner while Rex was giving his big old speech, but he's talking so loud. And the only reason I know that is it popped up in something else recently where I went, that's a thing! Why is that there? But yeah.
All right, Chad, is that, like, in the Halo worlds there, or is that something we should be paying attention to?
Well, either way, it looked very much like the Triskelion. Like, regardless, it was like, I don't know, man.
What if maybe it's Kronos?
I mean,
I don't know.
At this
done.
Point, I just, it could, thank you.
Welcome.
It could be anything. We're at the point where we have this huge tease, this huge, we're drawing lines in the sand. We're on sides now. We don't know what sides we're on, but we're on sides. So, yeah, we've kind of wandered into predictions and we kind of haven't. I think at this point it's just theories about who our gods might be and what sides we're on.
And Andrew Evers says, bet you $10 their time traveling will free the devil to the gods and somehow it will be Epsilon.
That last bit is a reach, but I'm into it.
I say, wait a minute, what?
What are these things? Not like the other. But still, I like crazy theories. You know me, I like crazy theories.
They're fun.
It turns out that Satan is church.
Leonard Church, know. Maybe?
Yeah, Dr. Director Leonard Church has taken over hell.
It's just no way to bring back the director.
No, I think we're going to time travel and at some point wind up on the Mother of Invention, and then things are going to get hecked up.
Actually,
there.
Cam Griffin brought up something that I saw in the background of the film set. It looked like the set of blue armor that Church was wearing back in season 2 when he went back in time. And I think calling this the Shizuno Paradox and all that stuff and bringing us back to that moment, like, it was there. It was in the background, but it was there. It was clearly there. And Cam Griffin says, what if it's the Great Destroyer? What if it's the actual... What if it's the actual Great Destroyer?
I love that.
Oh my god, and then we get that coupled with the whole... Oh,
and we get Andy back.
The end is near. The Great Destroyer is around. The end is near. Oh my god!
Yeah.
Wow!
What if we, like... last season was to, like, circle back to, like... season, a lot of season 1 stuff, and now we're circling back again to 2, and then next season will be 3 or whatever. And, but either way, I think that's a really interesting.
Gamma, who was the herald of the Great Destroyer, had time travel manipulation abilities. Oh, guys!
I think we've all just had our minds blown.
Straight up.
Thanks, Cam.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Those were our AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I love
I
it.
Think.
I love it so much. I can't wait to see where this goes.
I think at this point we need to wander on out. We're going to end on that giant exploding brain moment, and also Michael B. Jordan. Thanks for joining us, you guys. Remember, throw stuff in the hashtag between weeks because we absolutely check the hashtag on our off time. We love seeing your art and your theories and your comments and all of your fun stuff. And in the meantime, Mark, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Mark Bidonica. Also, follow all of us at ABTV Rooster Team. Also, make sure to go to our group on the Rooster Teeth community site. It's kind of slowed down, but I've been wanting to post more and more community stuff to get people involved. Camp's coming back, so our schedule is going to be changing a little bit again. We're going to be flip-flopping between Camp and Red versus Blue, but that also means that we're going to be having some fresh, sick camp activities for you. And I've already, based on the clip, I've already got an idea for the first one when that returns. So make sure to tune in this Friday for the Camp show. The actual show, and then we'll next week or on our Twitter or on the group site, we'll let you know what our schedule is going to be moving forward. And also, please go back and listen to our interview with Elizabeth Maxwell. It was amazing to have her here, and she dropped a lot of knowledge and a lot of previews for Nomad of Nowhere and for Camp. So please, well, thank you for watching and go back and listen to that. Subscribe. All of that stuff. Hey, welcome to Vail. What?
Yeah, on that note, I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at The Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN. Be sure to, listen to the latest episode of Welcome to Vail and also visit the TeePublic site. Good stuff.
TeePublic.com/TheRoosterTeam.
Covered all the things I wanted to cover. Yay! Our wonderful fourth human being is Stacey Shuttleworth on the Twitters at Stacey Shuttles. Follow her. She is a lovely human being and we adore her.
I think she's
her.
Streaming right now on Twitch on Inventory Full.
I guess go over there once you're Overwatch. Done here. And I am Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias as well as on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is KIAXET. Reactions to these episodes live on that YouTube channel. And I am doing a charity stream on that Twitch channel this weekend. So keep an eye on my Twitter. I will be announcing updates there. Thank you guys so much for watching. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you all next time.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Pizza Quest!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.